Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi everybody, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. As you are aware, for the past few weeks, we have been journeying through the tarot, through the Rider-Waite specifically, and now we are going to tackle a few other cards, with the first one being the Justice card. I do have to kind of preface this with saying I have seen the Justice card now probably for the past 5 years come up for me all the time, so consistently. She's become my best friend. For some reason, still kind of unbeknownst to me. So I have a bone to pick with Lady Justice here. So we're coming off of the Wheel of Fortune, which is card number 10, and we're jumping into card number 11. I want to thank you for listening still. I know that it can be a little monotonous sometimes and a little tedious, but once you learn the tarot again, it will become another companion in this lifetime. It's great, great deck, solid resource, and a reliable friend. All right, let's take a look at Lady Justice here. So she is sitting in a chair when we approach this card. And she's holding scales and a double-edged sword. She's wearing a crown on her head, and she is sitting between two gray pillars, which are similar to the two pillars that we see in the High Priestess card. When the Fool meets Justice, he learns about the laws of cause and effect. Or she learns about the laws of cause and effect. So the Fool learns that his or her actions have consequences, and that what he or she decides to do, their actions essentially in life, will eventually make its way back to him or her, right? So they're learning about cause and effect, right? What you do to someone, it eventually happens to you as well. What you give is what you get for the most part here, right? But also the Fool is learning about the law of balance, and that it's applicable across the universe, and that it's applicable here, which again, we could call it karma for the most part, which I think is really applicable for this card. The Fool is learning about being responsible for his or her actions. Also, in this case, the Fool learns that he or she, if they've been wronged in some way, usually that's the need for justice, right? This card teaches him or her that there will indeed be justice if this card is in the upright position. This card in particular can actually be literal, meaning that you may be having some legal issues, legal challenges, and that's what it is speaking to. But since it's in the upright position, then it means that justice will be served out fairly, which is what you want. So it's kind of positive in that way, that there will be fairness, a fair judgment, if you will. But for our purposes here, you know, just for this card in the upright position, when the Fool encounters justice, really to me, what I've learned over the past, God knows how many years spending it with Lady Justice, it never for me in my personal life had anything to do with legal matters. Although that is a definition that I don't want you to lose, because it does come up, especially if you're reading people. But to me, a lot of it has been about the law of karma and the law of cause and effect, which I guess you can still say is kind of the same thing here. This card, some of the key words: justice, fairness, truth, law, honesty, and integrity. Numerology here for the number 11. So we can approach this, you know, kind of as 11, which is the master number, but the master number that is related to karma, which applies here, right? What you do to one is what you will receive in the end. What you give is kind of what you get, right? That's kind of how the universe works, because the universe, or all energy in the universe, needs to be balanced. Sometimes with the numerology, and this is up to you, you can add it. In our cases here, we have 11, so 1 plus 1 equals what? 2. So there's important here to heed the messages back of the number 2 card, which is the High Priestess, because there's a lesson that the Fool needs to revisit. There's something very valuable that the Fool needs to go back to that is applicable to the current lesson. So if you revisit the High Priestesses, again, about intuition, mysteries being revealed, sacred teachings, all of that is important here in the Justice card, especially when you learn about the law of, you know, cause and effect, which sounds, you know, so simple, right? But the law of karma is very important for us here. It teaches us that, again, how we treat others is what comes back to us. It is the justice being meted out. So it does apply. All right. What else did I want to say here? Again, the Fool learns to just be very careful of his or her choices that they make, because we're all responsible for the choices that we make, right? Again, the lesson of justice. In the reversed position, it can mean injustice. It can mean unfairness, lack of accountability, dishonesty, or even corruption to some sort of degree. And also in the reversed position, it can indicate some legal problems. So things may actually not work out the way they should. Even if you weren't in the wrong, you may be treated unfairly by the justice system in the reversed position. If you do, I can't remember if I said this to you guys or not during the first episode, but sometimes when you begin to work with the tarot, you'll notice certain themes that are recurring in your life or over a period of time in your life. So one of the things that I have started doing at the start of the year is ask, you know, what is the theme for this year, my lesson? And, you know, I'll usually, not all the time, but usually I'll get a major arcana card. But the thing is, it's not as if, oh, I just learned that this year, great, and it's done. We always have to encounter lessons again, but for some great reason, I've had the Justice card, like I said, now consistently for a number of years. And I have taken it as the law of karma. Okay, but you can do that. Before I move on to the Hanged Man, it's something that you can even do today. You can ask your tarot guides, your spirit guides, whoever your spirit team is, you know, what cycle am I in? What is the lesson that I'm trying to, my spirit is really wanting to learn? And pull a card. And then, you know, sit down with that card and talk to your higher self about it to understand what he or she really wants to learn, because it's really their journey. Okay, so we're moving on to the Hanged Man, another favorite of mine, card number 12. After encountering Lady Justice, the Fool now meets up with the Hanged Man. So in this card, we find a man that's hanging upside down by his foot on the Tree of Life. He has a bright halo around his head, and he is wearing red stockings, and I guess I'll call it a blue tunic. His arms are also, as we see, behind his back. And by interacting with the Fool, or by the Fool interacting, excuse me, with the Hanged Man, the Fool learns the importance of pausing, surrendering, and also taking kind of a break from things to see the world from a very different perspective. So in his position, the Hanged Man is forced to see things differently. He's having to suspend all of his action and perhaps reflect so that he can take a different approach to certain things. And most of the suspensions, you know, in life, they're involuntary and they're brought on by the universe when we're forced to stop, right? When we hit kind of like a wall unexpectedly, that's coming as a sign or a lesson from the universe. And these are experiences that unfortunately force you to have to surrender, relinquish control because you didn't have it in the first place, and even trust. And of course, you know, this in itself can refer to manifesting in some way. Just as an example, if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to be successful and you are being met with a number of obstacles, this card is telling you, okay, you know, you need to stop for a little bit and pause. You need to approach things differently, reassess and reevaluate what the approach that you have been taking, the steps that you have been taking, and the energy with which you are trying to do things. If things don't seem to be going your way, or at least going the way that you hoped, you're being asked to let go and surrender. Overall, to me, this card is about being forced in some way to shift your perspective, or giving you time or an opportunity to shift the way you look at things. This card can also indicate that you're feeling super stuck in life and you're not able to move forward or even to change things at this time. Either way, regardless, this is a call to surrender and understand that there's a purpose to what is happening at this time. And it's hard when, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're going, and you're taking the right action steps and you're doing all the work, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're forced to stop. That can manifest in a number of ways, right? You might lose something. Something might happen in your familial life and you have to stop, put everything on hold. It's hard when you feel like you've gained momentum and now you're being told to stop. And there's nothing you can do. It's almost like there's no way to get around it. You have to just stop and wait. And there's a reason for it. There are obstacles thrown in our way to help us see things differently, because maybe the path that we're on is not going to really get us to where we think we're going, or it's just the wrong direction, and the universe is like, you're kind of veering off a little bit, so now we want you to take a step back. But that step back might not be one step. It might be like 15-20, or you think you're just going to be held up for a few minutes or a day, a week, a month. It could be years. The hangman to me is brutal in that way, only because it's out of your control. And if you're somebody who has had a life where you've not had a lot of control and you value it when you do have it, this is definitely forcing you to address the lesson of surrender and trusting something else outside of yourself. Key words here: surrender, sacrifice, letting go, new perspective. Numerology here for the number 12. Like I said, you can approach this as adding 1 + 2 = 3, or you can look at this together as 12. But to me, the numerology number 12, I like to add 1 + 2 = 3, and threes are all about creativity. And again, if you go back to the number 3 card, which is what? The Empress. There's something there. There's a lesson that she taught. Her energy was more calm, nurturing. She was the caretaker, but she was also very abundant, right? You kind of get the energy that it's very soft. And I think that that energy is very important when it comes to the Hanged Man itself. It's not so much of an action, go, go, go orientation like you find with the Emperor. It's a little bit different with the way the Empress would approach a situation. Okay, in the reversed position, this card indicates that finally, you are getting out of this position, out of feeling stuck, and now you're going to be able to move forward. Usually it'll indicate that you've had some sort of breakthrough, some sort of epiphany, and now you're able to move forward in the right direction and take the steps you've been wanting to take. So there's almost like an aha moment, a realization there, right? And we can see that through the halo that's around the Hanged Man himself. We are now going to move on to the Death card. The Death card is number 13 in the Major Arcana. And in this card, we do see Death himself riding a white horse, carrying a black flag with a white rose on it. At the bottom of the horse's feet As the horse passes by, we see people who are succumbing to death. If you take a closer look, you'll see that death affects all people, regardless of their status, their age, or their gender, which you see at the bottom of the card. And in the background, we see a sun rising behind the same pillars that we saw in the High Priestess and in the Justice card. When the fool encounters death, he or she learns that the only thing constant in life is what? Change. The Death card is all about change and transformation. And the fool learns that everything is impermanent and subject to the law of change, and everyone has to go through these very tough experiences of change, which are usually outside of their control and will have an impact on their lives, and hopefully, inevitably, we hope, will change their outlook and reaction to life. When you pick this card, be aware that change is coming to you. This usually indicates that you're going to be embarking on a new stage in life and ushering in a new phase. Again, the fool is learning that life is cyclical, but that change is a part of that cycle. Stagnancy in itself, that's not going to happen in life. The biggest goal here is for the fool to learn that all things evolve, and it is change that brings about evolution. Evolution requires transformation of some sort. And if we think about the caterpillar turning into a butterfly, something beautiful emerges, even though that transformation may have been painful and even lonely, right? This is a lesson for the fool. While the process of change hurts, the fool learns that what emerges is even more beautiful than what was before. So this card is all about change. I know when people see it, they think of literal death, and sometimes, I think rarely, but maybe it does happen sometimes where it's that's the meaning, but change is coming and there's nothing that you can do about it. And that's kind of what's interesting about the Major Arcana. These are events. These are lessons that you have to learn. Change is a lesson that you have to learn over and over and over again. However, whatever changes, whatever experience you have to go through that is outside of your control is to help you grow and to become an even better version of yourself, something even more beautiful. And that's what the fool is supposed to learn here, but that's also what you are supposed to learn. And from my own interpretation, this event, maybe it's a series of life-changing events, there's nothing you can do. You can't make it softer. It won't have a softer impact. It is because the soul called it forth for some reason, which you will learn when you get on the other side of it. I think I already said the key words here are change, transformation, and even rebirth. The numerology here is our favorite number, number 13. And of course, the number 13 is considered an unlucky number. It is synonymous with bad luck. Many buildings don't have a 13th floor even. While the number may imply misfortune on some level, we do understand that in reference to the tarot, the experience might be difficult here, but it will bring about the change necessary for your growth. In the reversed position, it means that the fool is resistant to change. They're having a very hard time letting go, and they're making it harder for themselves. It's definitely a sign to let go and allow the change to happen. This also, if it's in the reversed position, it could mean that something is blocking the change that's necessary for your growth or even necessary for the next phase of your life to occur. Okay, we are now moving on to Temperance. Temperance is the 14th card in the Major Arcana. And so after the Death card, the Fool encounters Temperance. And in this card, we see an angel with red wings and a halo with one foot dipped into the water. And then there's one on land. And this angel's pouring water between two cups. So on his or her, because I don't know, but on his or her chest, there is an alchemical symbol, which is represented here as the triangle. We also see two yellow lilies and a pathway behind the angel, which is leading through the mountains towards the sun. Now, the word temper means to act as a neutralizing or counterbalancing force to something, which is completely helpful here, given what the fool has just been through, which is what? Death. The fool encounters an angel here who brings with them the ability to heal what is hurt. If you think about the death experience, and not the literal experience, but managing very difficult experiences, you know, usually one side of us will emerge when we go through something really, really tough. The anger and the frustration, these usually tend to dominate our way of being when we are dealing with forces that are outside of our control and that transform our worlds very unexpectedly. We get very angry, we get frustrated, sometimes we feel incredibly enraged. Now, the fool, like given that information, the fool encounters this angel who teaches the fool the importance of learning to temper the emotions and balance the extremes within. Now, you know, given your death experience, whatever that looks like, your change experience, you may be going through the motions of crying and screaming due to the circumstances, and the angel is teaching you that grieving is natural. But temper your emotions, or they're going to get the best of you. Also here, the angel is telling the fool that this is a time of self-reflection and even evaluation before the next phase. The fool is being asked to take the proper time to heal and prepare for whatever this rebirth is going to be. Patience is one of the biggest lessons when it comes to this card. Because most of us knows that after loss or some sort of devastating event, the next phase or the rebirth can take a very long time to happen. And you're being asked to use your time wisely here and bring into balance the knowledge of your inner self and your outer self. The fact that the angel is transferring water from the lower cup to the higher, it's very important here. The fool is guided that this experience that they've endured, which seems like, you know, will make you hit rock bottom, a very painful, low experience, is actually an experience of ascension of some sort, and that they must rely on the inner voice or that higher knowledge to heal, trust, and to surrender. The key words here. Balance is a big one. Patience is a huge lesson for temperance and moderation. The numerology here is number 14. And the number 14 is a unique number. It's associated with knowledge, travel, and exploration of unknown territory, which is applicable especially after death. It represents the intense energy that needs to be properly directed, which again, the angel is trying to tell the fool about, you know, the lessons of extreme behavior here, especially after you've endured a really rough time. Again, one side of you will usually dominate, and the angel is trying to teach the fool about tempering themselves, or at least their emotions. In the reversed position, it indicates that things in your life are likely out of balance. Of course, it can indicate extreme behaviors from one end to the other and a need for moderation. Additionally, it definitely means that you're being quite impatient for things to move on to the next phase in life. All right, everybody. We have two more cards that we're going to get through. The next one is the devil, and the devil is number 15. So after temperance, the fool encounters our friend the devil. In this card, we see a satyr, and this is a creature that is half goat, half man, who's sitting in a very dark room. And goats have historically been associated with the story of the devil because goats were considered unclean animals. And the goat here has wings of a bat. I even read that they are wings of a vampire bat, I believe. And there is an upside down pentagram above his head. A reversed pentagram is supposedly a symbol of evil and attracts sinister forces because it overturns the proper order of things and demonstrates the triumph of matter over spirit. It is the goat of lust attacking the heavens with its horns, a sign execrated by initiates. Very applicable here when we talk about how there is a triumph of matter over spirit. That totally sums up this entire card, but I'm going to give you more details. So below him, at his feet or his hoofs, there is a man and a woman, and they have a tail and horns, and they are chained to his chair where he sits. Now, the man and woman who have these chains hanging around their neck seem like they're trapped at first glance, and it appears that they're unable to free themselves. However, if you look again, the chains around their necks, they're huge and they're very loose, and at any time, they can remove the chains easily and walk away. When the fool meets the devil, he is really confronting, or she is really confronting, the darker hidden forces that are occupying his or her own subconscious. The devil is symbolic of our fears, our hidden and likely materialistic desires, and even our own addictions. It is here where the fool has to confront his or her preference or desire for the material world over the spiritual world. And this is definitely a confrontation with the darker aspects of ourselves. Rebirth can be messy, and sometimes it takes us into the darker or the shadow aspects of ourselves. Sometimes we indulge in desire or even give in to our addictions, things that take us away from the spiritual parts of ourselves, and we allow these things to take control over our lives, and thus we succumb to external forces. This card is really all about choices again. The two figures we see at the bottom of the goat's feet, or the hooves, these are the same two figures that we see in the Lover's card. So again, these elements are coming back up, right? The Lovers are all about choices. Virtue or desire, these two choices. And obviously here, the Fool is choosing desire, tending more to his or her own baser self and allowing the addictions, the materialistic side, to dictate their decisions. This card indicates giving in to your lower desires, your lower tendencies. And there is a division that has to be, or a decision that has to be made here. Break free, which you can clearly do if you choose, or stay and indulge in some form of addiction or some form of materialistic thing, which is really an act of escapism. You have become a slave to your own desires, and that's also kind of a lesson here for the Fool, having to make this choice. Like, when you come to this world, you are very much so engrossed in the materialism of this world, and you forget the true reality. You forget your real identity here. And again, when the Fool is encountering the devil, he or she is learning about that side of themselves and either choosing to allow this side, this darker side, to dictate or not. It's very important, right? The most important thing here again is that it's a choice, because as in the cards, these lovers can either just take the chains off and walk away or keep themselves chained, an illusion. The key words here are addiction, materialism, temptation, seduction, attachment. The numerology here is the number 15, and if we add the 1 plus 5, it equals the 6, which brings us to which card in the major arcana? The Lovers. And it's appropriate here again because this card speaks of choice, decisions to choose between, you know, virtue or desire. Reversed. In the reversed position, it indicates breaking free, finally removing the chains that have binded you, or have bound you, excuse me. Reverse, it also can mean detachment, freeing yourself from your desires or from your addictions, or freeing yourselves from some very unhealthy habits. It also indicates that you're no longer giving in to temptation. All right, the last card we're going to go through today is the Tower. So after the Devil, the Fool advances towards the Tower. In this card, we do see this tower, which some have referred to as the Tower of Babel, which we know is in the Bible. And in the Bible, this Tower of Babel is built on an unstable foundation, which we kind of see here in the cards as well. In this card, we see those same two lovers jumping out of the windows of the tower. And importantly, we see the lightning bolt that's striking the tower, causing a fire and essentially destroying this tower. We also see a crown, which is quite enlarged here at the top of the tower, which also looks as if it's been struck by lightning. So just at first glance, we see that there are all sorts of problems here. It doesn't look like a happy card to get, right? There is disaster and destruction. Lightning alone symbolizes sudden illumination and the destruction of ignorance. It also represents a punishment of humans by the gods from the skies, most commonly attributed to Zeus, who was king of the gods. In the Bible, in the Tower of Babel, this is the story, if you're unaware. The Tower of Babel is a structure which is built in the land of Babylonia, sometime right after the Great Flood. The story of its construction, which is given in Genesis, appears to be an attempt to explain the existence of diverse languages. So according to Genesis, the Babylonians wanted to make a name for themselves by building a city, this great city, and a tower all the way up to the heavens. However, God disrupted this work by confusing the languages of the workers so that they could no longer understand each other. The city was never completed, this tower was never completed, and the people were dispersed all over the face of the earth. This card in itself indicates a time of great upheaval, another bout of change that is usually unexpected and out of your control. As you can see in the card, the lightning bolt is coming from the heavens, meaning that it's out of the Fool's control entirely. And this lightning bolt will come and strike down what you have made and burn it to the ground, right? Just think about Zeus with that lightning bolt punishing the humans in some sort of way, which is kind of what this looks like. This situation, when you get the Tower card, will bring you to your knees. This type of change is essentially the game changer, one that may force you to question your beliefs and question the very foundation that you have built your world on. But if we go back to the Tower of Babel stories, the people that they thought that they could really build a tower to God, and they did that out of their own egotistical ambition. So this shakeup, this experience of the tower, is going to force you to reevaluate a lot of things in your life, and even the role that your ego has played in creating your world, just like the role that the ego played in the creation of the Tower of Babel, right? Your ego can give you a false sense of security until something happens. And then when that something happens, it feels like your entire perspective of the world is you're questioning everything. There is a lot of stress associated with this card, as if you couldn't tell from the look on the lover's face who are just jumping out the windows knowing they're gonna die. this card is kind of like a reminder that things in life can change in the blink of an eye. It's a warning that you're about to undergo a very intense experience or change again.
However, with this experience, you will be forced to confront your ego, confront your false attachments, confront illusions. You will certainly feel, or whoever gets this card is certainly going to feel, a sense of helplessness. And again, it will force you to deal with pride and even sometimes selfish ambition. This is a lesson for the Fool again. If we think about it, kind of coming off the Devil, which is all about, in a way, ego, but materialism, right? Almost like a materialistic ambition, if you will, vice, you know, or virtue or desire, these decisions, right? This card for the Fool, this lesson for the Fool is, again, to learn about illusions, to learn about what they really believe in. How did they create their world? After they've learned all these lessons, starting from the Magician, right, moving through, I'm just thinking about it, the High Priestess, the Emperor, the Empress, even the Lovers, the Chariot, the Hierophant, what type of world have they built for them, has he or she built for themselves? What lessons do they really carry with them? Were they built on illusions? Is it time for an awakening of some sort? Is there a reality check here? The good news is that the lightning bolt comes not only to destroy, but to reveal and awaken. There are certain revelations that are in hand. Some sort of epiphany will be had here, and something will be revealed from above. So again, the Fool is encountering another episode of change and transformation, but this is an opportunity to shift his or her perspective. This is a spiritual awakening and a huge test of faith. So when you get the Tower card, you know, again, this is another test of faith, another situation that could bring you to your knees, another episode of change that you definitely didn't see coming. It's hard, but that these things happen in life. And again, even though for our purposes, I am moving linearly through the major arcana, we encounter life, you know, as a cycle. And some of these lessons come back over and over again. I think that's super important, as in we will be confronting our ego till the day we die. Nobody can relinquish the ego while being here. It is a part of us and it has a purpose as well. But we will be confronting certain things in our lives and having situations outside of our control many times, but it teaches us who we really are. You know, most of these hard experiences are there to help us awaken and remember ourselves. Keywords here: sudden change, revelation, disaster, catastrophe. not the greatest, but there's a purpose to it. And for numerology, the number is 16. So again, in this case, I'm adding the 1 plus 6, which is the 7, right? Which is actually interesting when we think about it, because the 7 here was about the Chariot, right? Overcoming obstacles, achieving your goals, achieving a lot of success and victory here, but to what cost, or at what cost? Was this an ego ambition here? Did you achieve everything, but did it hurt people in the process? What were you really seeking? What was the true intent? And maybe this is what you need a wake-up call from. Additionally, with the 1 plus 6 equaling 7, sevens, again, are a holy number. So in this case, you're going to be going through an experience that tests your faith and tests your beliefs. It's going to ask you to have faith in the unknown, which is required when you go through an experience that can be very harrowing and you have no idea what's on the other side of it, where there's a lot of uncertainty. In the reversed position, the Tower can indicate fear of change, which a lot of us have sometimes. It can also indicate, though, that you're still going to go through something, but it's not going to be as severe as it would be if it's in the upright position. All right, everybody. I hope that this has been helpful for you this week. Again, I'm slowly making our way. When I come back next week, we will finally finish all of the major arcana, and then I'll do a very quick summary of all the cards, and then
We will move probably a little bit faster through the remaining four suits. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye-bye.